Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to our time of prayer and scripture together. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Let's delve into the word of life. Let's put ourselves in God's presence, and let's ask him to strengthen especially our pro-life commitment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we dine on your word each day, and as you told your disciples, doing the will of the Father is our daily food. It is part of our daily bread along with the Eucharist. The Word is what we feast on each day, and it enables us to do your will. It enables us to know your will. May we, as we repent of our sins, as we stand ready to forgive, as we intercede for one another, may we understand your Word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today is the day in the Catholic Church that Saints Philip and James the Lesser, we know there are two James, are honored. And the Gospel, therefore, is a passage that talks about a particular exchange between Jesus and Philip. I want to read that passage for you, and then we'll draw some inspirational lessons from it. A reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Brothers and sisters, first of all, Jesus is the only way to the Father because he is one with the Father and he has made himself one with us. He's the only member of the human family who is also God. That's why he's the way. And he's the way, the truth, and the life in the sense that he is the way because he is truth, which destroys the lies of the devil, and because he is life, which destroys the murderous acts of the devil. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 8. He goes deeper here in this passage. Sometimes we are asked why we think we know God. Sometimes we are seen, especially when we do our pro-life work, as self-righteous. Look at us telling other people what to do or trying to control their lives or thinking we're better than they are. We're not better than they are. We don't think that we're better than anyone. And we're not trying to control anyone's life. We are under the same commandments that we proclaim to others. We have the same duty of obedience that we exhort to others. We are not better. We are simply fellow followers of Christ. But we do know God. This gets the left crazy, by the way. They're so afraid. You might have seen that clip on MSNBC recently about that, where this woman was complaining about Christian nationalism and, oh, these people think they have some kind of message from God. Well, if you're a Christian, you heard the words just here, just now. Jesus is saying, how can you say that you don't know God? How can you say that you haven't seen God? Now, we don't see God in this life the way we're going to see him in heaven. St. John tells us in his first letter, when we're in heaven, then we shall see him as he is. Right now we walk, as St. Paul tells us, by faith. There we will see clearly, directly, face to face with God. But nevertheless, we do see him now and we hear him now, because the words of Jesus, which are understandable, are in every respect and to every extent the words of the Father. The words of this book, these readings that we do, every word was put there by the will of the Holy Spirit. We're not saying it was dictated, but it was what the Holy Spirit wanted to be written down. Now, the Father is in me and I am in the Father, and therefore I do the Father's works, Jesus said. The greatest work, of course, was laying down his life for us, shedding his blood, rising again, that we might be saved. Now, Jesus makes it clear that those who believe in him will have the Father and the Son and the Spirit living in us. Anyone who loves me, Jesus said, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. And look, we see it, for example, at the end of Mark's gospel, because Jesus says here, you will do the works that I do because I am going to the Father. So, the end of Mark's gospel, just one of many examples. After Jesus ascends into heaven, gives them the command, gives his followers the command to preach the gospel to all the nations. Listen to this verse. It's the concluding verse of Mark's gospel. Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. That's what Jesus told them to do. While the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. So, this is where we understand this passage, because many people are confused when Jesus says, you will do greater works than I. It's like, that's ridiculous. We're going to raise Lazarus from the dead. What are you talking about? You're the Son of God. You're omnipotent. How can somebody do greater works than somebody who is almighty? We're certainly not almighty. We have to understand what Jesus means by this. And we get a clue right here. This passage I just read from Mark. And we'll see a couple of others, too, that help us understand this. Jesus was working with these apostles. They were preaching the gospel everywhere. And Jesus was working with them, well, because he was living in them. Paul says, do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? And he's confirming the message with the signs. So we saw that right at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Remember Peter and John? Not only are they proclaiming Jesus died for your sins and he's risen again, but then the paralytic was standing up and walking around again. And the people came to believe because of the sign. Just like the other signs, Jesus turned water into wine, and John's gospel says, then his disciples began to believe in him. He raised Lazarus, and then people started to believe in Jesus because of Lazarus, and they came to see Lazarus. And so the religious authorities that hated Jesus were trying to get him crucified, were trying to kill Lazarus too, because he was a living sign by which people came to believe. Jesus preached to a finite number of people in his earthly life. 3 years, right? Limited geographical territory. He didn't go all around the globe. But what does it say here? These apostles went out and preached everywhere. They went to places where Jesus, as a physical human being, couldn't go. There wasn't time. There wasn't transportation. They went everywhere. And the Lord was working through them. So that's the fulfillment of what he says here. Whoever believes in me, okay, and you welcome me, you love me, I will come to you, my Father will come to you, we will make our dwelling place in you, we will send you the Spirit, will do the works that I do. What did he do? He preached. He brought people to faith. He healed. He drove out demons. He gave his apostles the authority to do those very things because they weren't going to be separated from him. They weren't doing it on their own power. He was working through them, just like this concluding verse of the Gospel of Mark tells us. The Lord worked with them, but they preached everywhere. So greater works will you do even than these? Not greater because you can be greater than the Almighty. No, of course not. But greater in as much as I preach, but you're going to preach to even more people. Now, it's not talking just about individuals like you, Peter, are going to do greater works than I, or you, Paul, or you, Barnabas, or any of the others. No, it's the church. It's the whole body of Christ. It's the whole group of the apostles and their successors and the disciples of future ages. You, the church, you, my body, will do greater works than I ever did because you're going to go to places where I never went, although it will be me sending you there and working through you, of course. But greater works than these. Think of all the people, how many people Jesus brought to faith, and then how many people are there today? If you Google how many Christians are there, you look, it's just like almost two and a half billion. It's like almost a third of the world's population is Christian. Greater works than these will you do. Now, Jesus told us this when he said, he says this in John chapter 12, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He's talking about a future event, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. When I am lifted up from the earth, and in all those three instances he's lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Greater works than these that I have done during my earthly lifetime will you, my body, the church, do until the end of time. And there he makes the connection here. Greater works than these will you do. Why? Because I go to the Father. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. Why? Because returning to the Father, he brings our humanity into the heights of heaven, and then he and the Father, after that has been accomplished, send the Holy Spirit. And it's in the power of the Spirit then that this preaching to the ends of the earth, the healing, the driving out of demons is accomplished. That's the meaning. You know, actually, the Lord himself had prophesied this in Isaiah. He said to the Son himself, speaking in prophetic words to Christ, Isaiah 49:6, God is saying to his servant, again, it's the Lord Jesus, actually, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. That wasn't fulfilled until Jesus went to the Father, until he was lifted up from the earth, until he sent forth the Spirit. And then what? The preachers of the word bring that message to the very ends of the earth. Greater works than these will you do. Greater works than these we're doing in the pro-life movement. This movement is active all over the world. And this movement, talk about driving out demons. When you drive out the demon, and it is a demon of pro-choice, when you drive out the demon, and it is a demon of abortion, when you raise the dead, and it is raising the dead, when a child is brought to a facility where his or her death is planned and scheduled, and then by your words, by the hope that you infuse into despair, by the light that you bring into the darkness, by the voice that you bring into the silence, you convince that person to turn around and not have that abortion? Have you not raised the dead? And how many tens of thousands, how many millions of babies have been saved through this pro-life movement? That's one of the ways in which these promises fulfilled. I am going to the Father. You will do the works that I do. You will proclaim truth. You will restore hope. You will drive out demons. You will raise the dead. You will do the works that I do, and greater ones than these. Greater ones, in other words, than I accomplished in my earthly ministry. I will be working through you, but my church is going to grow. This movement for life is going to grow. You know, that's why, you know, people ask me, how come you never get tired of doing this? How can we get tired? The Lord is the one working in us and through us. It's the Lord. You don't get tired. We get physically tired or emotionally tired in our own human nature, but we keep going. We don't turn around. We don't stop. The Lord is working through us and fulfilling his promise that greater works even than I did will you do. I will be working through you and in you and with you. And this is why we have boundless confidence. This is why we have joy, even as we confront something as terrible as abortion. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Continue to do the works that you do through us, that they may be even greater and bring the victory of life. Amen. Father, we lift up to you all the intentions that are being expressed right now in our comments, all those that are being held in the silence of our hearts. We have so many needs. Our nation has so many needs. Give us victory in these elections, victory for life. Push back these evil pro-abortion amendments that are trying to mar and distort our state constitutions. Bring victory to us, Lord. Bring victory to us. Bring peace to the world. Bless the voters in this election. Bless the workers in the pro-life effort. May we always have sustained hope and joy, knowing that you indeed are working through us greater works than you even did in your earthly ministry. Bless us now as we pray the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray to our heavenly mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, thank you, friends. Bring other people into these broadcasts, if you would. Share the word, spread the invitation. And keep working hard for the kingdom of life. Remember, victory over abortion belongs to us. The Lord is working through us. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priests for Life and of Father Frank Pavone. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.